Klaus and the Devil. The old man wore his favorite garment for this much-anticipated meeting. A long black robe with billowing sleeves and thick lapels that reflected the dim candlelight of the temple. Much blood had been spilled through the night onto the checkered tiles beneath his feet, for the cult devotees had done their job well. Since dusk, they had butchered long and hard with their sacrificial knives, while others watched, chanting and swaying in unison, and once the last drop of blood had been extracted, they practiced upon each other astonishing feats of defilement. These scenes were still playing in the mind of the man as he made his way across the floor, but the temple was still again now. The floor had been hastily mopped, though the fetid odor of body fluid still hung in the air. The altar itself had not been touched, and still steamed with the offal of sacrifice, dripping steadily onto the floor. Would his shoes be stained? The man wondered. They were extremely rare and expensive, and he considered removing them before moving closer. But then he reasoned that as they were a lurid red color to begin with, blood spatters wouldn't make much difference. Behind the altar hung two braided curtains, fringed with gold, a slight gap between them, and an eerie red glow pulsating from behind them. The man could hear breathing coming from behind the drapes, and trembled with anticipation.
"Klaus," said a drawling voice.
"Master," the man whispered back in fearful awe. "Your work tonight was..."
"Master?"
"Satisfactory."
"Thank you, Master,"
said the man, though he had hoped for higher praise than this.
"To bring you pleasure is our delight."
And you did. Danke, Klaus," replied the voice.
"Bitte, Meister."
He loved it when his lord addressed him in his native tongue. "But now we have other matters to discuss, do we not, Klaus?"
"As you wish, Master."
"Oh, be assured, I do wish. I wish very much."
"Yes, Master."
"So how's everything going with the project, Klaus?"
"We are making good progress."
"Are you, Klaus? Are you really?" There was something in the tone of this question that unnerved the man. A chill passed down his body as he replied,
"Yes, Master. Many have died."
What's your definition of many, Klaus?"
"Tens of millions."
"Oh dear, Klaus. Tens of millions, you say? I'm afraid that won't do. There are still billions of humans running around the planet, yet you call that good progress. I mean, yes, you've managed to kill off some millions with a weapon, and others have perished from famine, war, poison, and so on, but you're still woefully short of the target. Did I not instruct you to get the world's population down to 500 million? Did you not see the Georgia Guidestones before they were blown up?"
"Of course I am aware of them, Master."
"Then you will also be aware that you are still several billion bodies short of the extermination target."
"We will do better, Master." "And the weapon hasn't reached its full effect yet."
"Ah, yes. That brings me to another matter, Klaus, old boy, about the timing of that effect. Why did you kill off so many so quickly?"
"Master, was not extermination the goal?"
"Yes, Klaus, extermination was the goal." Hearing this hint of mockery from his lord unnerved the man even more. For a moment his cheeks spasmed uncontrollably, until he managed to overcome his nerves. "A for effort, Klaus," the voice continued. "But why did you kill and injure with such immediate effect? You see, with all these people keeling over just after the shot, and many of those caught on camera, you've alerted people to the danger."
"This was an oversight, my lord, but only because some of my colleagues were overzealous in their duty."
"Pah! Overzealous, you call it? Downright reckless, I'd say. You were supposed to install gradual decay into their bodies so that we might have plausible deniability. But now, with all these videos circulating of athletes and news anchors dropping like flies, people falling under trains and what have you, you have badly tipped our hand. What an appalling lack of discipline.
Master, I will put it right.
I haven't finished. Not only did you alert people to the danger prematurely, you robbed us of our pleasure in the slow torture of our enemies' beloved creatures.
Forgive me, Master.
Forgive you? What do you take me for, Klaus? To suppose forgiveness is in my nature? The man had no answer, and his cheek spasmed again, and this time it took him longer to bring it back under control. And another question, the voice went on. Why did you roll out the weapon at the beginning of your year 2021? You made it stupidly easy for statisticians to chart excess deaths on a year-by-year basis. Why didn't you introduce it midway through the year, so you could fudge the numbers better?
We will do better with the next pandemic.
The next pandemic, eh? Perhaps, perhaps.
Yes, we have the next variant ready to go.
Oh, Klaus, now you're starting to bore me. That narrative has been going rapidly downhill since, what was it, Omicron? And then what came after, Ninja or some such? And then you got really sexy with what, BA1 and BA2? Listen, Klaus, old fellow, how are people going to be fearful of some new variant if they can't even remember its name? Even I can't keep them all straight.
I understand, Master, but next we shall bring a new disease. Marburg, perhaps, or Ebola.
They're hardly new, though, are they, Klaus?
But we have changed them in the laboratory.
Ah, have you now? More spike protein, perhaps? More snake venom? The problem is, you have made people so resistant and distrustful of the countermeasures with your premature kill spree, and especially the weapon, that you've made it ever so much harder to mount another fear campaign. What is it those disgusting humans say? Fool me once and all of that? No, Klaus, on due reflection, I'm going to have to rethink my strategy. You and the World Economic Forum are really not fit for purpose. A gasp of disbelief escaped from the old man's mouth, and even his best efforts could not keep his cheek spasms in check.
But, Master, he pleaded, we did our best.
Oh, Klaus, you two amuse me. Did your best? You're starting to sound like a Christian. Our enemy may be disposed to bestow his unmerited favour on those who love him, in spite of their many failures, but surely you don't think I'm going to do that, do you? No, I'm going to get rid of the WEF, and for that matter, the United Nations and the World Health Organization, and I'm going to destroy them all by the hand of my real agent on Earth.
Let me be your agent, my lord.
Oh, Klaus, don't be absurd. Your cover is blown. You're a laughingstock. No one will believe you. No, the one I have appointed will appear as a saviour by going after the likes of you, but in the end will turn out to be an even worse tyrant than those he removes. Devilishly clever, don't you think? Even if I do say so myself. Yes, we'll start with a soft kill at first, but it won't be long before he goes full man of lawlessness, if you get my drift. He will break you and your little Davos club, for so it is written. Nothing personal, you understand.
But, Master, all my years of service...
Yes, I know, it's most unfortunate. All your years of service will, I fear, earn you more punishment at the hands of the enemy. But do go on, Klaus. You're really quite entertaining.
You promised me a reward.
By now the man had lost some of his fear, as it gave way to deep-seated anger, resentment, and betrayal. Oh, that, said the voice. You mean you want me to extend your life? Not in my toolbox, old boy. Did you not drink enough adrenochrome then, Klaus?
Yes, but...
Did you not drink enough children? You and your chums got through quite a few tonight.
Yes, but...
Oh, you mean... What was it you said in one of your boring little speeches at Davos? Fusion of our physical, digital, and biological identities? Is that what you mean? You want your consciousness to be put in a chip and then kept alive in a skin?
Not exactly, Master. You promised.
Stop right there, Klausy boy. Promise, did I? You do know what the scriptures call me, don't you?
Yes, Master. You are called Lucifer.
Well, yes, that's one name, but you seem to be forgetting something, Klaus, old boy.
I don't follow, Master.
Oh, but I think you do, Klaus. Come on, you can do it. What else do they call me?
The Morning Star.
Good, keep going.
Prince of the Air and the Accuser.
Bravo, Klaus, but you're still missing the key term here, old chap.
You prowl like a lion.
Yes, 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 all of that, but you're still not hitting the mark here, Klausy boy, are you? Shall I spell it out for you? Shall I be plain? They call me the Father of Lies, do they not?
Yes, Master.
And do you suppose the Father of Lies makes promises and then keeps them? Who do you think I am? Our enemy? Again, Klaus, you're sounding alarmingly like a Christian.
Please, Master, give me another chance. I shall bring more war, more deception, more famine, and we shall reach our target by 2030. We shall have more bioweapons, energy weapons, poisons of water, the air, the food, more radiation, more censorship, more surveillance, more legislation, cyber attacks, quarantine camps, more taxes and fines and fees to break the will of the people, and so on.
Oh, Klaus, aren't you adorable? Bargaining with me to procure what? Mercy? I don't do mercy, Klaus. You should know that by now. The quality of mercy is not strained. It droppeth as the gentle rain from heaven upon the place beneath. Blah, blah, blah. Das ist Quatsch, Klaus. The man's knees were shaking now, whether from fear or anger, an effect heightened by his interrogator's return to his native language, not to praise this time, but in rebuke. Of course I'm not into rain or dew either, the voice continued. I go in more for tornadoes, hurricanes, earthquakes, floods, forest fires, you know the type of thing, what they foolishly call natural disasters.
Please, Master, I beg you.
Ah, that's more like it, Klaus, begging me, acknowledging my power over you. But it's still too late, old boy. You see, I've grown weary of you. Now run along and tell Justin to come in. He's waiting outside. I'm in need of some stimulation of a more physical nature, and he always proves most willing to oblige.
Master, I could perform this function if you wish.
Oh, Klaus, the very thought. How revolting. Do I look that desperate to you?
That's not what I mean. I mean I can do the special things.
Oh, where have I heard that before? Let me think. Emmanuel said it. Rishi said it. Tony said it. Boris said it. Jacinda said it. And so did Christia, Ursula, and even horrid little Teresa. And yet every single one of them profoundly disappointing, I do assure you. Quite without personality, wholly without charm. And come to think of it, since they're all your little acolytes, Klaus, I really thought you would have trained them better. Now don't get me wrong, it's not that I'm especially fond of Justin. The boy is an absolute dullard, and even dimmer of intellect than all the rest of you. But he is at least accommodating, and that shall suffice for now. Come to think of it, Klaus, do you know who else was in here just the other day offering me special sings, as you put it?
I know not,
the man replied wearily. Your mate Charlie Boy Windsor. Well, of course, I was so disgusted by the very idea of old Sausage Fingers coming anywhere near me that I was tempted to put him out of his misery right there and then. But alas, I'm not permitted to until the enemy tells me it's time. And apparently his crimes must be revealed first. Which won't be long, of course. The Kamloops and Carnarvon revelations are well underway.
Master, I could bring more evidence against him.
Down to your last straw now, are you, Klaus? Throwing your friends under the bus to buy yourself a little more time? No, Klaus, there's no need. His fate is sealed, as is yours. Now then, entertaining as this discourse has been, I have other matters to attend to. I'm sure you can understand the burdens of carrying a global empire. Permit me to dispense with such customary pleasantries as goodbye or farewell, much less God bless you. In your case, none of them applies.
Master! Master!
The man called desperately, but it was all in vain. The red light behind the curtain dimmed to an almost imperceptible glow, and Klaus knew in an instant that all his life's work was for naught. Soon he would join his mentor Henry in permanent exile from life. Perhaps that had been the plan all along, to use him and then discard him, as so much medical waste. He would be dead within the day, he was sure of that. Barely able to stand on his feet, the man shuffled his way back across the checkered tiles and out into the hallway. There, sitting anxiously on a chair beside the wall, was little Justin, ever eager to please. He rose to greet his tutor and extended his hand.
"Hello, Klaus," he said with his ingratiating smile. "Good to see you again."
Klaus did not return the gesture, didn't even turn his head to look at the supplicant awaiting his turn to enter the chamber.
"Fuck off, you little shit,"
he replied, and marched resolutely towards the front door. Two security men followed him to the vestibule, but Klaus dismissed them with an impatient flick of his hand. Not even an army could protect him now. He put on his coat, eager to cover the expensive robe, which now seemed so preposterous even to his own eyes. He made his way out of the front door and down the front steps of the lodge. The air was cold, and a dim light ahead signaled the beginning of a new day, the close of which he did not expect to see. He took a few deep breaths of the chilly morning air, and felt a giddy delight as condensation formed from his breath. These may be his final moments, but at least he would enjoy this last palpable token of life. His path led him past an old church on his right. It had a sad, dilapidated look to it now. There had been many funerals there of late, but fewer weddings, and hardly any christenings. Its life was hanging by a thread. He had achieved that much at least, the man thought to himself. Should he go in there now and confess his sins? He laughed at the idea.
"Too late for that now, Klausy boy," he chuckled to himself, recalling snippets of the chilling conversation he had just had in the temple.
On the next block he walked past a school playground, where soon enough the din of playful children would be heard.
"We didn't kill enough of you,"
he whispered to himself. Immediately his mind began weaving the old equations, how a rising death count would promote him in the eyes of his collaborators in the secret society, and how the youngest victims would count the most, because they were closest to the god he hated. The ones who survived would be trained and traumatized to become wholly indifferent to the suffering of others, a generation of cold-blooded killers, ready to follow orders without question and complete the work of annihilation. Klaus stopped, placing his hands on the chain-link fence outside the playground, looked in and sighed. At that moment, a ray of sunlight kissed the side of his face. "You know this will be the last time you feel the sun, don't you?" said a voice on his left. Klaus turned to see who had spoken. A man was standing beside him, wearing a white robe that shimmered in the morning breeze. He too was looking into the playground, but his eyes shone as white fire. It was time.